The reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 to 25, and that's on page 853 of the Church Bibles. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from our guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Amani, thank you very much. It's great to be with you today. Let me just pray as we get underway. Please keep the Bible open as well. But let's just bow our heads and pray. Earlier on in the letter to the Hebrews, the writer writes, "If you hear God's voice, do not harden your heart." So we pray, Father, as we hear your word now, please give us soft, teachable hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as you can see on your service sheet today, the question we're thinking about is why do we come to church? And the answer to that question, to answer it, we're going to look at just one verse, really, from the book of Hebrews. And one of the big themes of the book of Hebrews is that any of us at any time have full access into the presence of God. In Jesus Christ, there is no more no entry sign. It's just gone. Now, one of the rather unfortunate habits I have is that I do tend to kind of get ready to go out of the house and just suddenly I can't find my keys. And I'm usually pretty good about hanging my keys up, but when I can't find my keys, there's always one place to look first. That's in the front door. So I often find that I kind of come in the evening and I'm just absent-minded. I leave the keys in the door throughout the whole night, the front door. And the rest of the family, as you might expect, you know, don't think that's a great habit to have. Because really, as they tell me, like it's an invitation, you know, to say, come right on in, come and make yourself at home. And now we're not sure that's the invitation we sort of want to be offering throughout sort of the small hours of the night. But in a way, that is exactly the sort of invitation that God makes to us in Jesus Christ. The door, the keys to the door of heaven, of the most holy place where God dwells, the keys are in the door. In fact, the door is wide open. Anyone can come in. And Jesus, as our high priest, is willing to usher us in if we trust him. And we can approach God just as a child approaches their father. That is the good news of the gospel. And an even greater thing about the gospel is that we don't have to go to a special place to do this. Through Jesus Christ, we can draw near to God at any time, in our bedroom or around the kitchen table or as we walk to school. We can draw near to God as we pray to him. Or we can draw near to him as we kind of open up the Bible and just enjoy some of the things he says and about the gospel, about himself, and we just trust them and we can find ourselves drawing near to him in our heart. Or we can even thank him in song for his forgiveness at any time. We just have to get the right CD, chuck it in the car, CD player, and off we go. We're thanking God. We can draw near to him as we thank him for the forgiveness we have. Now, if that is the case, here is the question. Why do we bother meeting like this, Sunday by Sunday by Sunday? Why do we bother? I mean, we can approach God at any time through faith in Christ. Why do we need to gather like this? Well, there are all sorts of places we could go to answer that question in the Bible. We're going to go to just one verse, really. One verse. We'll look at a few other, but it's mainly chapter 10, verse 25. And I've got my Hebrews 10, 25 glasses, so I'm not going to wear these the whole time. Put them on. Okay, I want us to look through our meeting here now with Hebrews 10, 25 glasses on. Okay, so should we read Hebrews 10, or let me read it to you. Hebrews 10, 25 says this, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing. Oh, that's interesting. So it seems that some of the Christians, right in the earliest days, started to wonder whether they should bother meeting together, whether they should bother coming to church. And we don't know quite why that is. It might be because they thought, this isn't a very religious gathering. They were used to nice sort of to big kind of religious gatherings where the leader wore lots of robes and there was lots of special things being done and had to go to a special place. And suddenly, they could just go to someone's home and meet with other Christians. And that was church. It looked rather ordinary. Either way, they were tempted not to, sometimes to want to go to church. And I wonder if you're the same. If sometimes you feel, I'm not sure I'm that interested in going to church. You know, I might rather just be a part of that sports team. You know, so I know sometimes there are some great sports clubs where they have they play matches basically on Sunday afternoons, and you think, I'd love to be in that one, but if I join that sports team, like I won't really be able to get regularly to church that often. Or sometimes you wonder, should I really say to my parents, if I'm visiting them for the weekend, look, we're going to have to leave just quite quickly after lunch so we can get back and be there on Sunday at 4, or should we not really bother and just miss it for another week? There are all sorts of reasons we might have as to wondering whether we actually want to bother coming to church, but let's listen to what the writer to the Hebrews says. He says, look, you need to be there, and his answer, his reasoning is not primarily for ourselves. No, we need to be here for others. We come to church for the sake of others. Just look at how verse 25 carries on, Hebrews 10, 25. But let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So what the writer is saying here is that you need to be at church because all of us have a role to play. We need to sort of put our glass on there. The reason we're here is to encourage one another. It's like if we were wearing these glasses, it's at the other side, it says, encourage one another, okay? That's why we've come. Now, what does the word encourage mean? Anyone want to sort of say, define encourage for us, what it means? It's kind of a joining of two words. You've got en, courage. So en is sort of in, in French, isn't it? It's in, put in, courage, strength, kind of, put in strength to one another. You kind of strengthen each other to keep going. That's what it means to encourage. And in fact, if you've ever been to a park run, you will know all about encouragement. We've only done junior park run. That's only 2 kilometres. But my goodness, the moment you get out of the car, and then you have a briefing, and then before you even set off right at the start line, and then as you're running around, and others are running around with you, or some are watching on the side, or at the end, even the home straight, drinks afterwards, it is encouragement central. It is absolutely, it's encouragement from the word from the start to the end. In fact, however young you are, if you're in junior church, however young you are and however unfit you are, I bet you could just cruise 2 kilometres at a junior park run. In a way, the reason we gather together, Sunday by Sunday, is to do the same thing people who turn up to make park runs happen. We come to spur others on. And not just to run 2 kilometres, but to spur each other on to live the Christian life. That's why we're here. We're here, as encouragers, to spur each other on. That's the purpose of this meeting now. And all the other sort of meetings we have, like at small groups or other times we get together. But here's the question. How do we encourage each other? Well, look, let's just follow the example of the writer of this passage. Because did you notice? He can't stop throwing out lettuces, can he? This is a passage full of lettuces, or let us is. So we've had two already in verse 25. What do we have? We had let us not give up meeting together, and let us. Oh, thank you, Gordon. Let us encourage one. We've had two lettuces. We've got three more. We've got to notice, okay? Firstly, there's the lettuce of verse 22, okay? Anyone good at catching? What did you say? Health. Oh, actually, I think, do you know what? I might have spelt it a bit funny. It's faith. Okay, look, verse 22. Let's look at it. This first encouragement we can offer to each other. Let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith. We gather together to encourage one another to draw near to God in faith. You see, sadly, we sin. Every day we sin. And therefore, we need a constant reminder that despite the fact we sin, we have nothing to fear if we confess our sins. We have nothing to fear from God. We've got nothing to be ashamed of. We're forgiven. And we can, even though we've sinned, we can boldly approach him as our Father. And we need to keep encouraging others in that, each other in that. We can draw near in faith. Lettuce number one. Lettuce number two in sandwich material this week. Okay, Philip, you're holding a baby. Is that really? I'm going to Matt. Okay, Matt, here we go. Yep. Thank you. What does it say, Matt? What does it say?
Hope.
Thank you. Hope. Verse 23. Let's have a look down. Let us hold fast and let's hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. When we come together like this, what we're wanting to do is encourage each other that God is faithful. He will do what he's promised. And we need to hear this because it can feel like this world is all there is. This is all we can touch and see. That is all there is. And so we feel like we've got to squeeze as much out of life as possible and avoid doing anything difficult or anything like that. No. The reason we gather is to say that is not the case. This world is not all there is. God has made a promise. Jesus is coming again. And it will be wonderful. All our longings will be met. We just mustn't get distracted. We must keep following him because we have great hope. We must hold on firmly to the hope that comes from trusting Jesus. Lettuce number three. Verse 24. Okay, ready. Let's reach our high one. Ready? Oh. Sorry, didn't risk assess that. What does it say? Love. Thank you. Verse 24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good deeds. People who know they are loved by God, accepted by God, it's going to love others too, aren't they? You can't say, oh, I know that God welcomes me in and not be up for sort of welcoming others too. And so we gather together to encourage each other to press on in love. All that we do is geared around those three goals. Now, every week we're going to do it slightly differently, but should we just assess how it's going this week at Westbury? I've come here from Bishopston just to assess how you're doing it here at Westbury. Okay, let's see. Where are we encouraging one another to draw near in faith? Actually, in quite a lot of ways, I think. Good. For instance, we prayed a prayer of confession, didn't we? And as we say sorry to God, that is an opportunity for us to remember that our sins are forgiven and we can draw near to him. We're going to sing King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me. And we're going to sing about how God has brought this sinner near to your throne. Oh, yes, that's a great song to sing. As we sing songs like that, we're encouraging each other that we can draw near to God in faith. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. And that is a moment when we can remember that because Jesus has shed his blood and his body is broken, we can draw near in faith. How about hope? How are we encouraging each other to hold fast to hope? Again, songs we sing. Oh, look, we're going to sing later on again about the King of Kings, the Lord Jesus, who is the King both from beginning to the end, the one who will meet again. Lord's Supper. It's a foretaste of the future when we'll feast with the Lord Jesus. In fact, just being here is a little foretaste of the hope we have as we gather as a family. It looks forward to the day when we will gather with all Christians everywhere throughout all time. Finally, love. We gather to spur one another on in love and good deeds. I don't know, maybe at the church family news, there'll be some opportunities to learn how we can do that. We're going to end by praying that we would live and work to your praise and glory. That's encouraging. We're praying in the prayers we pray to love and look after each other. Hopefully, maybe even this sermon might help to that end. But of course, it's not just the formal things we do, like sing, listen to sermon. If we are really wearing these encouragement glasses, oh my goodness, it affects the whole of the meeting. You know, even from the moment us thinking about coming in the week, right through to when we drive home afterwards. It kind of affects the question, should we even bother coming at all? Well, it is, I'd have to say, we at Beth Bishopston envy you guys so much that you meet at 4. It is there's benefits to 11:15. The benefit of 4 o'clock is that really, if you are within, I don't know, a 2-hour radius from Bristol, you know, it is possible to have lunch and then get on the road and come back and be here. That is a massive encouragement, just being here. One of the things I find most encouraging is when we have our prayer meetings, and there are a few people at Bishopston who find it really hard to pray aloud, and that is fine, but them being there, oh my goodness, just them saying that this is an important meeting, it matters that I'm there, it's a huge encouragement to the rest of us. Wearing these glasses will help us as we prepare for the gathering, as we prepare to come. So we might pray together for the people we sit next to at church, that the Lord would just lead us to someone who we could encourage. It might lead us to kind of thinking with encouragement glasses to read the passage before we come, so that we're able to think about it and think how we might spur others on to love and good deeds on the basis of this passage, having thought ahead of time, so that when we hear the sermon, we'll be able to we'll be ready to go, we'll be prepped up. We actually find at Bishopston, one thing we do is we send out the service sheet. I'm sure you guys would do it here at Westbury if you're interested. We say all the parents are able to have the service sheet so that they can see the songs we're going to sing, so that the children, we can find it on YouTube and kind of sing those songs on, I don't know, Friday night, Saturday sometime, so that it's not the first time they're hearing the songs. We found that to be a very helpful thing. Encouragement glasses helps us with the time we arrive. We've got to get here before 4. If we're here to encourage, we need to welcome newcomers. We'll need to make the most of kind of the opportunity to talk to each other beforehand. Can't just slip in at 4:05. No way. Encouragement glasses will kind of inspire where we sit. Now, we at Bishopston, we have a bit of a problem. We're in pews. It does mean, for some reason, when it comes to pews, everyone sits at the back. So you have this huge, like, few rows that are empty. And it's like, oh, it's not very encouraging. It doesn't mean it's like the meeting is a bit people aren't up for it. Now come and sit far forward, and who can you sit next to? Who could you sit next to me to encourage today? And I think if we're thinking with encouragement glasses, it means that getting involved in the gathering is really important. We find it so encouraging. Junior church, we as adults find it so encouraging when we see you singing out. Oh, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I've got a friend also who's a really good listener to sermons. That he's listening to sermons, but he's always he just jots down a question or two that he might kind of ask. He thinks, oh, that would be a really good thing to ask someone over a cup of coffee afterwards. Just plans to do it during the sermon. I have to say, children, there will be times I think when church will be boring. It will be boring at times. But that is okay, because this is not a TV show. We're not all about entertainment here. We've come to encourage.
So if it's a bit boring, okay, don't worry. There'll be something that'll be interesting in a minute. Hang on. It will come along. Or maybe you don't understand something. That is okay. That's fine. Again, just say, oh, I don't understand that. I'll ask someone later on. Finally, if we're wearing these Hebrews 10:25 glasses, it totally changes kind of what we do after the final prayer. Because after the final prayer is not the end of church. No. That is basically the main event. This is the time that we have to kind of drink a cup of tea together, spill out into the Bradbury Hall, and talk to one another and encourage each other on the basis of what we've done together in faith and hope and love. It is vital. So children, we're sorry. I have to say, we are sorry if we ever give the impression we're too high and important to talk to you. We'd love to talk to you about what you've learned at Junior Church and to be encouraged by you. And if you feel signs that mummy and daddy are just kind of yabbering away, and you say, come on, I want to go now. Well, they're doing something really important. They are. They're encouraging brothers and sisters in faith and hope and love. You see, what we're about on a Sunday afternoon is so important. It's not like a park run. No, this couldn't be more important. Because look, verse 25, encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. The Lord Jesus is returning. He really is. And therefore, we need to encourage each other to keep going so we're ready for him when he returns. Let's have a moment of quiet and I'll lead us in prayer. Let us not give up meeting together. Let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We want to pray, Father, for your help to put this word into action, even this very day, this very evening. Help us to wear these encouragement glasses and spur each other on in faith and hope and love. For Jesus' sake, amen.
Oh, loads of questions. Could have done with another verse there. Do take a seat. Jim, first question, what's going to happen to the lettuces?
Anyone who wants you there, they're free for the taking.
There we go. I thought I'd sort of start with a couple of questions before maybe moving on to some ideas that people have had.
Let's do it. Go for it.
First one is this. Thank you, Jim. There are lots of people here. Are we meant to sort of encourage each other? Should we be dashing around like bees?
Yeah. No.
10-second tweet here, tweet there.
That's why I was suggesting pray for who you sit next to. You know that you can't talk to everyone, but you can talk to the person you sit next to, the person who you end up drinking a cup of coffee with. Much better, perhaps, to have two more in-depth conversations than buzz around the place.
This one is very good. It says, look, I'm a really shy person. How can I possibly be brave enough to encourage other people? It feels quite an intense, scary thing.
Great question. And we don't want to make out that this church is only for extroverts. I think I just assert that same point, though. Let's think not quantity of conversations, but maybe quality. I know you've thought a bit about this whole topic, haven't you? I think it's perhaps just one more conversation in depth, perhaps, or then Finn, you've got to. I'm sort of rehearsing what I just said before. What would you say to this?
There might be some of us who are happy just to move from one conversation to the other with a little word of encouragement. You can just do that without breaking a sweat. Brilliant. Some of us are terrified by that thought and break into a nervous sweat, but we might be happy just actually having a slightly longer chat with one person over the course of meeting after church. It might just be one person we speak to. And actually, God's church needs both types of people. And they're both valuable encouragements. Here's another one. Jim, can you say a little bit more on why seeing people making the effort to come to church?
Yes.
Why is that encouraging? How does it encourage us?
The actual seeing people. You see,
The people who dash back after being up in different part of the country.
Yeah. I think you can feel very lonely as a Christian. We can feel like we're in a total minority, can't we? And we are in a minority. But what church is a little local physical expression of what is true in the heavens. In the heavens, spiritually, as it were, all Christians throughout all time are gathered around the throne of God. And we can't see that, but a little expression of that is happening here right now. So there's some it's like a foretaste of the future.
Oh dear.
Yeah. My son who fell over. Here are some of the suggestions. Texting or WhatsApping. Jim, do you want to say a little bit more about how we can use that in small groups?
I think a lot of us have found WhatsApp groups have been a great way of kind of encouraging each other throughout the week, prayer requests, sharing news. And I think that's just kind of, that's just the way so many of us communicate normally today. So let's make the most of it for Christian encouragement. So I think that would be definitely a great thing to do, yeah.
There's a comment here about having more testimonies from up at front. I think that's something, gosh, that's just so good, because as a leadership and as a staff team, we talk about having testimonies. And actually, maybe people thinking, do you know what, we're not seeing that many. That's really helpful, so thank you very much for that.
Can I just say, thank you for that comment. The problem is, it's sometimes going to be hard to hear the testimonies unless... for instance, over at Bishopston, we elders, who kind of, as we kind of decide what we're going to ask to invite to speak and share, hear a testimony from, we need to get the communication channels working better. So that if, say, someone has a very encouraging conversation with someone else, they should say, look, tell that to so-and-so so that we can make sure it is shared on Sunday. So that kind of communication channel issue is one to kind of work on. That's an issue for us, but definitely in Bishopston, yeah.
And those, I guess, will be testimonies where maybe you've had a positive encouragement, but also there'll be time when we'll want to testify that life's been quite tough.
Yeah.
But we can testify to God's goodness. But we don't always want someone standing up the front saying, let me tell you about how God's... really helped me succeed in all these different ways. Sometimes the powerful testimonies will be ones where we're saying, oh, but he's kept me going.
But I'm pressing on in hope, yeah.
Here's another one. I think maybe this is the last one. Smile at the preacher or leader when listening. But that's a real, real encouragement. But anyway, that's maybe a bit specific there. There are quite a few, and I imagine some of these will make their way up onto the blog in the week that comes. So just keep an eye out on the blog, particularly for some of those encouragements. Jim, thank you very much.